Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 6 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, this has been quite an exciting day in here today, and there's news pretty much across the board. First off, you had a pretty good rally in Asia this morning. The Nikkei having been down, I think 1.88% yesterday, was up 1.58% today, so retraced a lot of that loss. The ASX in Australia was up 1% as well, and across Europe, you had pretty good rallies. I think the best of those were in France and Germany, with 2.23 and 2.29% up, both of those. So they're starting to look a little bit stronger, which kind of makes the case that the lows we saw earlier on this month was an important low, and it would really need to we'd need to see some downward dynamics to sort of question that the way things are looking. In the US, the Dow Jones had been up over 100 points earlier on, but it's pulled that back a bit. It's currently up 69. And I think the reason for that is because you had some rather strong oil numbers come out here. There was much less in the inventory than people had expected, so oil jumped up $1.25. It's up 73.40. Excuse me, it's at 73.43 right now, which is starting to put pressure on those highs, which really aren't that far away at all. And of course, because this is still before we've had any major hurricanes, and you still have this trouble with Iran and with North Korea, these are all factors that are weighing on the oil price. And if we do see any kind of weather-related activity, this could spike up quite significantly. Looking at that though, if oil does move up to new highs, it really means that natural gas, if it doesn't move, is going to be remarkably cheap in comparison. When we look at that ratio, 12 times, when oil is 12 times the price of natural gas, I think the substitution level is somewhere around 9. I might be wrong on that, but it's definitely not 12. And it really does make natural gas really quite cheap. Obviously, natural gas hasn't done anything today. It's actually down on the day. It's down 2 cents. So they're certainly not moving in line with one another. And I think it will take something weather related to really stir natural gas out of its torpor. Now, moving back to the stock markets, we have had these really quite good rallies in here today, particularly in France and Germany and in some of the other European markets. The FTSE was up nearly 2%. And that is, looking right here at the FTSE, it's at 5791. And there would be some potential resistance around 5800, because that's where we've seen resistance at the end of May and at the beginning of June. And if it moves above 5800, that's definitely going to allay the fears of quite a few people out there. But the question is whether it's going to go right back up to that high just underneath 6200. And that's probably quite unlikely, purely because we are still in this medium-term correction. Today has been a very, very good day, but what we would need to see are consecutive days on the upside. And those, apart from quite small days, haven't really been there haven't been too many of those around. If you look back towards the end of May and the beginning of June, you had big up days on the upside and big days on the downside. If we start moving back into that sort of pattern, it means that we're going to go sideways for quite a bit longer, and it probably means that those lows around the middle of June, while being relatively important, they could be taken out. But probably not by very much. That's looking at the FTSE, probably a very similar story then for the CAC and the DAX. And looking at, for example, the Dow Jones, well, the Dow is still in this sort of sideways range or lateral range, up 70 points. That's still below the high that we saw at the in the middle of June. I think that was around the 17th or the 18th. Let me just get that date. Sorry, the 21st. There was the high of that range, still below that. And we're seeing right-hand extension here. Now, as long as we see further right-hand extension in the US, the chances of any of these other developed markets moving to new highs is really quite unlikely. We'd have to see the US starting to move up and starting to strengthen quite a bit more than we've seen already. So still we're still in this sort of right-hand extension phase. Now there was plenty of other action in markets today, and particularly here in the industrial metals. Nickel is up 600 at the moment. It was as high as I think nearly 800 earlier on today. But what that's done is it's left behind 20,000, which had been sort of an area of psychological resistance, and it is really not that far at all from its all-time highs, or at least the highs for this latest move around 22,000. And given the amount that nickel can move in a day, that's really not very far at all. Copper had a very good day as well, and it's up 1330 right now at 3230, and that is starting to look a little bit better in here. We had that sort of lateral range for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and it's starting to move up out of that. And copper, while it did come off from 400 to 300, and that was really quite an exaggerated move, it has firmed up. So while I don't think it's going to reassert its uptrend right away, it does mean that this level around 300 has become relatively important, and that would be our first area of potential support now. I was looking at the inventory charts earlier on, and looking at nickel and with copper and zinc, their inventories appear to be relatively low, and copper still has a whopping great backwardation. So those are points, bullish points in its favor, and will certainly help to keep support under the market. On the other hand, lead does have an increasing inventory. So if any of them are going to firm up or to start looking better, it's probably going to be the leaders that have led all along, being copper, nickel, and zinc. Then looking at some of the other commodities, gold is firm in here as well. It's still below that 600 level. It's up 585 in the day. It's at 586, so we're still seeing just lateral trading in the precious metals. Silver is not very different. It's still holding above $10. It's up 17 cents, right? 17 and a half cents now. It's at 1033, but again, this is still really just going sideways. So you'll see also on the comment of the day, you'll see that chart of cocoa that I posted. And cocoa's at 1650 right now, and it appears to have broken up from this lateral range we've seen over the last year. Now, if you want to look at that range in a slightly longer term, it's been ranging really since 2003, and there have been some pretty major spikes there. I think the tallest of those went up to about 1839. So there's another 250 points before it runs into the nearest area of potential resistance in this really quite large base formation. If it does break above this sort of 1800 level, that would be base completion. Then we could see it move up really quite significantly. As it is, it's broken out from, I suppose, what we could consider a medium-term range over the last year, and it would need a downward dynamic to countermand that move. Then on the other side, lumber was really quite abysmal yesterday, and sort of broke down from what has been, which had been put from what had been looking quite bullish, but yesterday's downward break has taken, I think, some wind out of the market, and it would really need some upward dynamics to restore confidence there. The currency markets are still really quite dull. There's not very much has happened at all. I'm looking at the euro right now. It's almost unchanged on the day. Pretty much the same with the reserve currencies. You'll see the New Zealand dollar there. New Zealand dollar starting to weaken once more against the dollar, having broken below that 60 cent level. So it's unchanged in here today, and it really would need an upward dynamic to take it back above that level to limit the scope for further downside. As far as I know, the New Zealanders are really quite keen to have a weaker currency to help with the current account deficit. So there may not be very much activity from the central bank, but if I'm wrong on that, please send me an email, or if there's any central bank comments coming out of New Zealand, don't hesitate to forward them through to us. The South African rand, which had really been a star performer over the last sort of 6 weeks, has run into a little bit of resistance around 7.5 rands, but it's certainly coming down a lot slower than it went up, and this could really just be more of a consolidation prior to some additional weakness in the South African rand. And I'm sure that would probably help some of those gold mines. I was talking with David earlier, and I'll be going over to see him as soon as I'm finished recording here. And I think he had a tough night last night, because he's developed an intolerance to penicillin, so they've had to change him off of that and onto some other drugs. But other than that, he's recovering reasonably well, and is raring to get back into the hot seat. But thank you very much for your time, and have a very good evening.